traffic is not your plan, you don't actually know who you want to serve first. So it's always going back to how do you want to spend your time and what lights you up and how do you want to be in this world with the skills that you have. And they don't always equate to the situation that people come to me in this like state of marketing overwhelm. It's like, well, it's because you opened up your doors to all the people and now you don't even know how to communicate with them because there's too many of them. You need to get fine details down so that the marketing plan itself with the tactics makes a lot more sense.
This is the Entrepology Podcast, the podcast where we optimize the bodies, brains, and lifestyles of entrepreneurs, go-getters, and world-changing innovators.
Welcome to the Entrepology Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Megan Walker. As a naturopathic doctor and anthropologist, I optimize the health and performance of badass women working to change the world as entrepreneurs and go-getters. You know, people exactly like you. Your business, body balance, and inner badass, these are the themes we are exploring. Before we jump into the interview, I want to invite you to join our free Facebook community, Legacy. If you want to be something amazing, you need to surround yourself with amazing people. The Legacy community is made up of badass women living, not leaving, but living our legacy every single day. We are leaders, parents, entrepreneurs, and innovators collectively committed to leaving the world better than we found it. My mission is to support the health and optimization of these badass superheroes, literally to places we never thought imaginable. If you are on a mission and get it that your health is the key to your unlimited potential, then join us. We are super awesome. You can find us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/groups/DE Legacy. See you there. So one of the things that our audience has been asking us for is for not just support with respect to their health, but also for some key insight as it pertains to their business. And I think we could be doing a better job. And so for today's interview and moving forward, I was like, I need to start to pull the team of experts who exist in my own world, my council of amazing people who contribute and provide insight on my own business, and those people who I respect tremendously out in the field who are doing incredible work with the businesses of others. And so to kick this off, I'm so excited to introduce today none other than Brandy Kinnear. Brandy is the chief cheerleader over at Your Ideal Patients, and she is a bit of a marketing genius. And while most of her focus happens to be on applying marketing principles to the health and wellness industry, Brandy has a story that makes her quite the badass in and of her own right. I'm totally excited to introduce you today to a woman who is trailblazing the health and wellness industry, who has a ton to say about the notion of marketing and will take you from a place of marketing overwhelm to strategy in a split second. Such a pleasure to introduce all of you to my friend, Brandy Kinnear. Brandy Kinnear, welcome to the Entrepology Podcast.
Thank you so much for having me, Megan.
Well, I'm kind of excited that we're going to take things on a different journey today. You are a passionate supporter of the health and wellness industry, which is amazing. And we're going to get into your journey in a second, but we're not going to talk about health per se today. We're actually going to talk about the health of one's business, because so much of our audience is entrepreneurs, and people keep asking, they're like, can we talk about business stuff? And I was like, okay, like what a beautiful blend in you to be able to address health and wellness, but also be able to talk about marketing because you're a bit of a marketing genius. So tell us, Brandy, how did you get to this point? How did you get so passionate about marketing, but how did you in particular get so involved in this industry?
Well, Megan, it's kind of an interesting story. I guess I consider myself a rebel and a trailblazer from the early days. I've always been interested in business. I took psychology in university so I could understand more about the, you know, science of behaviors. And then I went straight to the Caribbean where I opened up a chain of video stores. And while I was there living the good life, I really blew up the industry down there, if you will, and started to look at, you know, all the ways that I could start to scale businesses. And I was constantly looking at different businesses and how I could help them. And then I came back to Canada to start putting some roots down here because I'd been down there for about 7 years, as I said, enjoying the good life. And it was time to come back home. And when I got back here, I ended up getting psoriasis on my hands and my feet. And I'd never had a health issue before. I was eating super healthy down there. I was a pescatarian. So fish, veg and whatever was in season as far as the fruits, salt water, sunshine, the whole bit. And so when I came back up here and got the psoriasis, I entered into the conventional medical system. And that just blew my mind because I went from my family doctor, who I never saw before, to dermatologist visits and light therapy and creams. And it was just a disaster. It wasn't getting any better. And one night I was sitting on my couch at home watching TV, and I saw this commercial come up. And it was a local channel. It was like Rogers or one of the local channels. And there was this horrible commercial with bubble letters for this business that was not too far from me. And I thought to myself, and I was freelancing at the time, and I thought, these people need my help with sales and marketing. I'm going to reach out to them. Now, of course, I look back, the universe literally took my hand and brought me to this business. I contacted them. The next day they were like, come in for an interview. I went to this mansion, 10,000 square foot home on 25 acres in the forest. And there was this brilliant integrative medical doctor who literally had no patients coming to see him. And he had the answers to 99.9% of the world's health problems. We had an amazing chat, and he's like, I need you to take my business and grow it. I'm putting money into it. I'm losing every month. And in turn, I will pay you well and fix your health issues and everybody in your family. And I was like, sold. And we stayed together for 9 years, and he fixed every single thing that happened to me and to thousands of patients. And it was just at that point where I realized that there was such a lack of information on the natural wellness industry and what it can do for people. And I determined that it was my path in life to spread the word. So I would literally tell everybody I knew, everybody I met about, you know, integrative medicine, natural medicine. And I just became this spokesperson in my life. And then I mixed in the whole sales and marketing and business development component into that, because actually that's how I can do it. So yeah, like I determined that in order to grow awareness, I had to reach more of these doctors that were like him and help them spread their knowledge and their wisdom to their audiences so that, you know, together exponentially we could grow awareness. So that's kind of how I ended up in it. And marketing was just a byproduct of being able to help everybody.
Were you always an entrepreneur?
Always, from the minute I was born.
Yeah, I know. I think for some of us, it's just like the way we are built. I love that you just called them and you were like, you need me.
Well, don't forget, I was living in the Caribbean. So to say that I was ballsy was an understatement. I was doing a variety of very interesting things down there, including, you know, big stage shows. And we were bringing reggae artists from, you know, Jamaica, and we were doing really cool things. So I wasn't afraid of taking action. That wasn't one of my issues. But I certainly was afraid of psoriasis and what that meant to my, you know, confidence in my future. So, yeah, it was a ballsy move. I'll agree.
Yeah, I know. But I think some of the best things in life typically are. And I love that you say, you know, I could do that. That was no problem. But like addressing my own health issues, that left me in that state of overwhelm. And that's where I feel like the yin and yang of practitioners and consumers come together. Consumers are like stopped in their tracks when suddenly, and people are stopped in their tracks when their health blindsides them because they're so used to executing at one level. And practitioners, we take it for granted that we have some of these really incredible solutions and we're scared to tell anybody about it. So it's amazing that the industry has access to you and your passion for what you're doing. I don't want to know how this person had like a 25-acre mansion in the middle of the woods with a bleeding business. I feel like that's a different story. One thing I want to ask you about, and it's interesting because I've actually had a number of patients and practitioners reach out to me lately, and they're in this state of marketing overwhelm to the point that for everyone, I'm concerned about their health because they're like, there's so many things to do in the marketing realm, and they have zero framework to take all the available stuff that they can pick up and start to create a strategy around it. How do you start with those people who are in a state of marketing overwhelm?
Well, I mean, it's the same thing with there just being too much information available, and you get into this analysis paralysis state where, you know, you think about tactics as marketing, but really, as you said, it's strategy. And if you don't have a proper marketing plan that you've identified clearly based on things like who you want to serve, what is your offer to them? How do you want to show up to them? What's your brand voice? And then look at the best ways to attract those people. Like, where are those people that you want to serve? And I would say that it's not the same marketing plan for everybody or, you know, each practitioner, each entrepreneur, each company that I work with. But, you know, defining those fundamental things first, like what is your unique selling proposition? What makes you different? It's hard to gain the attention of people nowadays because the whole age of distraction is upon us. So, you know, what sets you apart? And then building that first, it's almost like building a proper practice or a proper business first. You know, you need to know all of those fine details before you can start and look at what are the tactics that you need in order to start marketing to them. Because the success of the outcome is only one part of the overall plan. And sometimes people are coming to me and they're like, I just need more traffic. And I look at what they're doing and I think to myself, and I'm telling them straight up, I'm like, traffic is not your plan. You don't actually know who you want to serve first. So it's always going back to how do you want to spend your time and what lights you up and how do you want to be in this world with the skills that you have. And they don't always equate to the situation that people come to me in this like state of marketing overwhelm. It's like, well, it's because you opened up your doors to all the people and now you don't even know how to communicate with them because there's too many of them. You need to get fine details down so that the marketing plan itself with the tactics makes a lot more sense.
And so regardless of industry, because we have entrepreneurs in our community who are like, they're doing like the full gamut of things. When people are like, okay, I know I'm supposed to niche, and everyone looks at you with this sort of rolling their eyes, exacerbated, I'm surrendering to that concept. How do you, like, what process do you give them? Those people who are like, I don't know where to start. Like, I don't know how to niche. I don't know how to identify a core population or audience that I want to market to.
Well, the first thing I say is, who do you actually like to see every day or serve every day? So the customers that you really enjoy interacting with, and outlining who those are, and then look to the needs of the population. So if you're trying to determine what your niche is going to be, and you're doing something that has very little need in the population, I mean, it's quite easy to go on even Google and type in, you know, symptoms or health issues, what the most common health issues are, and come up with either massive amounts of information. And I'm talking about the health industry, but for entrepreneurs, it's the same thing. Like, look up where the needs are and what the deficiencies are, and then determine what you want to serve. I mean, if I was running a marketing consulting company to, you know, tech companies and plumbers and lighting companies and commercial businesses, how could I ever truly become amazing at what I do for the natural health industry? And there's enough money in each one of those industries to serve whatever your needs might be. So the goal of niching is important to understand. And I think the resistance is around I think people have the mindset where if I turn off this faucet of patients and go directly there, am I going to actually affect my finances? And I feel like that's really more the issue than determining what the needs of the population are, because it's quite obvious when you start to do a little bit of research, especially if we're talking, you know, health in particular. We know that women make the decisions for buying in the household. We know that, you know, thyroid disease is rampant. We know obesity is a daily problem, you know, so those things are quite simple to determine. And it's a reality is, well, who do you want to work with? You know, do you want to serve high performance athletes? Do you want to serve entrepreneurs? Do you want to serve kids all day long? And that, I think that exercise
no.
there, well, no, very few people are putting up their hand for that one. I think that exercise in itself helps to feed the understanding of where you should spend your time, and take the money part out of it. Because if we lead with the money, we're not going to reach the fulfillment part, because the money will come.
Yeah, I agree. And I think, you know, step one when I'm working with people is like, just like, you have to know who you are too.
Yeah.
The things that light you up, like what your bigger mission is. And sometimes those populations start to become really apparent to you. And the thing about serial entrepreneurs too, you're going to serve multiple populations in multiple ways over the course of your career. Like, you're probably just not going to go so deep on one thing that that's the only place you want to stay in. You'll probably go deep in one thing and then have the ability to see all the ways that your methodology is applicable to countless populations. So I think the fear of, I'm going to be pigeonholed for the rest of my career, I actually just think it's a limiting belief.
No, I completely agree, because look at, you know, versatility is key right now. And if you're, you know, if you're looking at somebody in any space's career over, you know, decades, most people are, especially the newer generations, are entering into multiple industries just in short periods of time. So the reality is the opportunities are endless. You need to understand exactly who you are, who you want to serve, and then what do you want to be known for? Like, what do you actually want to be known for? If somebody had to tag you in a Facebook group, or somebody had to call on you to be a keynote speaker, or somebody was going to, you know, you wanted to write a book, like, what do you actually want to be known for? I feel like if you start with sort of those overarching goals and then work your way backwards and almost reverse engineer it, it becomes a lot clearer.
Yeah, no, I like the way that you're putting that. And it's an empowering way of actually pulling that together. I think there's two sides to marketing, especially an individual's brand. There's the product and the offering that you can put out into the world. So let's say you're a nutritionist, or you're a naturopath, or like you could be a jewelry designer. It doesn't really matter. You've got the business and the transformation that you're promising people, but then there's also you as a person and how you market yourself. And I think you just spoke about this really well. You're like, this is a whole new generation of workforce where people, no matter like whether you want to be an entrepreneur or not, like I think a lot of people are going to be forced into freelancing and they're going to be doing contract work. And like, I think this is a generation that's going to be having to market themselves in an unprecedented way. Do you have some cornerstones or tenets that you really advise people around when it comes to marketing themselves? Some things that they just need to keep in mind, like a checklist almost?
Yeah, well, even before I get to that, Megan, I think what you said also feeds into the importance of people understanding that self-promotion is now key. And we have the tools available, you know, using video, and we have the abilities to communicate in ways that we never did in the past. So the people that are going to have to be positioning themselves in these roles and marketing themselves have way more access to tools and audiences. So it's a brilliant time to be in that position. And, you know, some of the cornerstones of what I would consider a solid marketing strategy would be, you know, once you've defined what the key factors are, building your expert brand, because whatever it is that you're doing, if you're seen online as an expert, so what does that online journey look like for your customers? The more of an expert you are online, the greater all of the other challenges with sales and nurturing relationships and all of those things become, because you've done the hard work initially. So I always think that becoming an expert brand is extremely important. And then after you've identified where your potential customers are hanging out, have a plan for both the visibility of the brand and yourself, and then a content marketing plan. And those two will marry together very nicely, because you're taking opportunities to, you know, create your signature talk and get your voice out there and be known for what you're doing. And then for the people that are following you and that are part of your audience, you have the consistency with the content and helping them along in their issues and helping to like deliver value to them that is necessary, because of these types of relationships we need to build with people in marketing nowadays. We know that it takes approximately 10 to 12 touch points with somebody before they take action. We're in the age of distraction now, and getting in front of those people and being able to connect with them multiple times requires both the expert brand building through your visibility and then content marketing as well. So I think those are the cornerstones of a solid marketing strategy, and then some of the tactics that are required to do those, you know, would be things like having an opt-in so that you're collecting email addresses and not relying on, you know, a social media platform as your only way to connect with your audience. And then making sure that, you know, you're putting together nurturing information in front of these people so that they can get to know, like, and trust you. Because that's really what we need, is we need people to resonate with our brand nowadays. People are buying people, and people buy through emotion. So that is an important key piece of a solid marketing strategy.
Sorry, did you say something? I was checking my Instagram stories. Just kidding. People are like, oh, she's such a jerk. I'm totally teasing. Okay, so here's something I hear. I hear it every year we do the first 18. There's always one person, their comment is, you know, they're like, thanks for teaching all of these online tactics. But my brand has a different type of integrity than that, and I'm not comfortable being in the online space, and you did not spend enough time talking about marketing tactics that have nothing to do with the internet. And so I always take that comment with a grain of salt. But I actually just want to dissect that a little bit, because there are lots of really cool guerrilla marketing things you can do where you don't leverage the internet. But can we talk about how difficult it is to build an expert brand if one of the things we're taking off the table in terms of a tactical outlet is the World Wide Web?
Well, so let's dial it back to the good old days, you know, early 2000s. I'm running this massive integrative
That's just
clinic.
Funny.
You know, I'm reaching a seven-figure model, and we had to use flyers, and actually print flyers, find postal codes, and deliver them. And no matter how many flyers we put out, and no matter how many, you know, old school paper articles, radio ads we did, we could only capture people's attention for a snippet of time. And then after that, we were gone and forgotten. And the ability to, you know, get those key touch points was so limited. So then comes along the interwebs, where we have access to audiences en masse, and we have this message to give. And any doctor or any, you know, service provider or any entrepreneur that can honestly, like, go on my Instagram right now and tell me you are wrong, I don't have a message to give. We have messages to give. It's just how we decide to show up and give that message. And people need to hear that message. So that I have to say is, like, get out of your own way. People need you. And there's massive amounts of people out there that have no idea what you can do for them. And the best and easiest way, like, let's take the path of least resistance as it comes to things that are, it's like the wheel. Why are we reinventing the wheel? There's massive amounts of people that you can access online. You can go and do, you know, in-person things to build your brand. You can go and do that as part of your visibility plan. But if you want to exponentially grow awareness to yourself, you need to look at where the people are. It's so funny, because I have a client, and she's on one of my marketing programs, and she said to me, Brandy, people are starting to message the office through Facebook Messenger. And she's like, I just don't like it. Like, I don't want it at all. And I said to her, well, like, welcome to 2018. These people that want to see you want to communicate with you on different channels than the ones that you currently have available. So welcome to the new world. I mean, you have to meet people where they are. You can't stay, you know, this island and expect people to come to you. And if you do, you're just going to grow, if you do grow, at a very slow pace. And that's the reality of it. And I think it just comes with unfamiliarity with their brand strategy and who they want to be standing out as and what their voice is. And I think that's one of the bigger challenges, rather than saying, you know, I don't do online, I don't do social. I mean, why not?
Yeah, no, there's a few things that come up for me there with people when we're talking about those things. Because, I mean, you have to honor where they're coming from.
Totally.
But, you know, and part of it, like, and even part of, like, our process with our new mastermind is we're going to talk about entrepreneurial thinking, because there's certain tenets to thinking like an entrepreneur that make it so obvious that you would go online. And if you're not used to thinking about problems that way, you might not see it the same way. So one thing is, like, when you're handing out flyers, you have no way to measure the success of that campaign. Like, you might be able to leave your phone number and then you could ask people whether they saw your flyer or not, but most people won't remember where they actually saw you. It was, like, as you said, and coming from multiple places. So you can't measure whether there's a return on investment there. You definitely can't scale it. And then there's this concept called opportunity cost. So all the time and energy that goes into, like, meeting people one-on-one and hoping they're the right person and following up or making flyers or doing all these things, those are things you could have spent the same amount of time going online and reached 10,000 people, not six. So unless, you know, you're just so flush with capital that you have all the time in the world and no real pressure to make it grow, it's extremely inefficient as a route of growing your expert brand. And I said this on the weekend, and I think we both agree on this. The responsibility that you have as a social entrepreneur to be able to do good in this world is so strong and so powerful, especially right now. You can't afford to pick the slowest, least scalable way. You got to access as many people as possible.
Well, and to add to that, Megan, what's interesting is, if you don't have a solid online presence, the impression of the people that you're reaching, albeit even six people, is minimal. Yeah. I mean, they're looking at you online. It's so funny, because we, you know, with some of my consulting clients, and I talk to them, and it's like, the people that you used to get referrals from are not, it's not a straight path to a sale anymore, because, you know, my neighbor says to me, oh yeah, she's the best dentist, you have to go and see her. I'm still going online to check the business out. And if that business is antiquated, they don't look fresh, they don't look modern, they don't act like they care about their audience, there's no consistency of their messaging, I don't resonate with them, I'm bouncing, because Google has so many options for me. I don't have to just take the referral of one person and consider it a done deal. So, you know, you can take the slow road, but it's going to be the no road, because what's the customer's impression of you when they go look for you? They're even going, I mean, going to look for you on social media. They're looking not just on your website, which, you know, you should not be homemaking unless you're really amazing at it. Then they're going to go and look on your social media and see what's going on there. So you actually have to show up as an expert online now if you want to put that expert positioning to your potential clients.
Yeah, and you will eventually probably somewhere find a marketing expert who will justify for you that you don't have to go online. But that's like finding a doctor eventually who agrees that maybe smoking is okay for you. So, I think we're both like, yeah, you got to do it. You got to confront the thing that's going on that makes you not want to be there. And it's harder. It's harder if you've been a practitioner or you've been in business for a long period of time and you've experienced success and there was always an analog way that enabled you to grow. And suddenly the world and the way that people are picking up business offerings and products has completely shifted. And so it's not just, you know, a newer generation of entrepreneurs who are challenged by this, but there's a whole group of trailblazers who were able to do it one way and suddenly they're being forced to shift. And that's the population that, you know, my heart bleeds for a little bit, because things are moving really, really quickly and it's a totally different type of learning.
Well, and I agree. And, you know, Megan, I solved that problem by, you know, this isn't a shameless plug, but creating a
shamelessly plug
social media program for practitioners so that they don't have to be the ones figuring out what to say to the customers and creating the content. It's like, it's done for you. Just put it up so that you can look like an expert online. You can still be graduating into it at a slower pace, but still looking like a pro. You just have to source out the people that can help you with that. So, you know, it doesn't have to be jumping headfirst into cold ice cube water. It can be a gentle entryway, but still having all the tools necessary to be that, you know, that expert brand.
Yeah, and I will plug you as well. Your stuff's amazing, and it's so professional looking, and it makes it so easy for practitioners to do what they're really good at, and then not have to worry about those other elements, the parts that are scary in terms of growing their business or maintaining their business. So it's awesome. It's an awesome service and offering that you've made for people.
Well, thank you. And it literally was built out of necessity, because when I'm working with these different practitioners to help them grow their business, I realize that everybody has the same problem. A, nobody has a proper marketing plan. And B, nobody has an expert online brand. And C, nobody has time or this amazing person in their office that can capture the right information, you know, regurgitate it to the right audience in a graphically pleasing way that stimulates sales. So it was like, okay, everybody is never going to find that person. It's too much of my information to try and get your staff member up to speed. Let's just build it and use it and just have that problem solved. So it really is one of those programs. It was 100% built out of necessity more than anything else.
Yeah, no, it's great. You mentioned something before. You were talking about, you know, you could be on Instagram, or then you could build a landing page, and you could have you could opt people into your mailing list. And I want to take some of those ideas and start to sequence them for people. And I had this question in one of our coaching groups yesterday, and they're like, okay, I could be doing the Instagram, or I could be building sales pages, or maybe I should have SEO and Google AdWords. And literally they were sitting at a counter of like a buffet of marketing options. And they're like, I can't fit it all on my plate. And so, you know, there's always places to start, and notwithstanding the fact that we should understand what people's specific goals are. But, you know, when people are brand spanking new and they're staring at that buffet and they're hungry, where do you suggest they start? And let's talk about social entrepreneurs generally. So people who have a product or a service that really that benefits the population or an individual population as a whole, where should they be going?
Well, I think it's still twofold. So we look to build an audience. That's probably the easiest place to start. We look at, you know, building an audience on Facebook and Instagram. And, you know, I'm a full believer in content repurposing across all the channels. So I believe that you don't have to waste your time just figuring out one platform, and that in fact, you can build the content once and put it across all of the different platforms that your potential clients frequent. But so you could build yourself an audience and just start focusing on the audience and start to get people, you know, like and trust factor going and start really getting a voice, which is great and it's required. But the problem is, if you were to look at how to turn those people into buying customers, unless they have a product and you're selling it right from Instagram, which does have some good value these days and is growing, people still need to leave your social media platform. So this audience that you're building still needs to get off there and get onto your email list, because we talk again about those 10 to 12 touch points. So they need to continue to hear from you. And again, with social media, you might get a snapshot in front of them in their feed. And, you know, potentially if you're omnipresent on Insta stories, you might show up on a more frequent basis, depending on how busy their feed is. But in order to actually communicate with them about the problem that they have and that the solution that you have, you need to have a way to get them on your email list. So for me, that's foundational. You have to have an opt-in. We do a lot of quizzes in my agency right now. Quizzes seem to be very hot. We do either a quiz or an ultimate guide or something along the lines of a join this program and they receive a daily email, and it's a very dynamic email with maybe some video and different things in it, so that, you know, you get people in, you warm them up, and then you have strategic ways on when to ask for the sale. Because gone are the days where you can just ask a cold audience for a sale and expect the results to be valuable. So yes, you need to build your audience, but yeah, you got to capture them. What if Facebook shut you down the next day? Happens to people. Instagram accounts get taken down. You know, so you work to build your audience there, but you must pull them off and get them into your webs of your email marketing. I'd say that at the most basic level is what I would recommend to a hungry newbie at a buffet.
And SEO and Google AdWords and all of those other paid marketing tactics, where do you put that in the spectrum of when do people start investing in those pieces, in your opinion?
It's like you have to build the fire first before you add the fuel. So the fuel is the traffic. If you don't have what we call a funnel, so this quiz that leads to an email sequence or a course that leads to further communication, if you don't have that in place first, the value of adding traffic is almost nil, because you're sending a wide variety of people to something that they might not resonate with. You're not capturing their information. It's literally like, you know, spraying into the wind and hoping for a result. And it's costly. It's not cheap to run, you know, Google ads or even Facebook ads. And SEO, I mean, if people don't know anything about you now, boosting your SEO is really just beneficial for local search, if we're talking about a brick and mortar business, because nobody's looking for you online. You know, you're going to have an easier time starting with building the audience first, generating some money, and then looking at optimizing, you know, your SEO and Google AdWords. But again, those are traffic strategies. It's the gas on top of the fire. So I never start with those. And when I connect with people and they're like, I just need more patience, I just want to run Google ads and I want to do ads. And I think to myself, ow, like, we're working 100% backwards here. We have to first look at and see, you know, what systems you have in place to even retain and convert those potential customers, you know, those leads into potential customers. And then what are you going to do with them once you have them? What does that journey look like? How are you retaining them after that point? And I always look at, you know, that first before I start adding traffic.
Yeah, I agree. I have seen very few businesses that are sufficiently dialed in to have a strong ROI on Google AdWords, for example.
100% agree.
Yeah. Like, and people, the thing, if we think about healthcare in particular, people don't buy their healthcare until they know, love, and trust you and are 200% confident that you are the right person for them. And you just can't convey that in a Google AdWord. So you're right. Unless it's leading them to a program or a funnel where they're going to have ample opportunity to be able to check that box in the journey of their care with you, it's just a waste of money.
Well, and they're super vulnerable, especially in the health sector. People are vulnerable. So they have access to tons of information, but what they really need from a marketing standpoint for practitioners, if we're talking specifically about the health industry, is they need to know that you're the person they can put their faith in that'll take them from their, you know, current status to happy again. And you, there's no way for you to do that on any type of ad. That is a relationship building opportunity. And it's okay to think of it like that because you want these people to really resonate with what you do and who you are before they come to see you. Because I'm a firm believer in attracting your tribe and repelling the rest. I don't want to work with people that don't fit with my ideals and the type of person I am. And I drop F-bombs all the time. And if you can't handle it, then you're not my people. And that's okay because I don't want to change who I am in order to attract mass quantities of people. And that's where we talked about before, like knowing who you are and who you want to stand out as. And okay, maybe it's hard to drop multiple F-bombs as an expert practitioner, but at the same time, it's like, let's make sure that everything that you're putting out there is intended to attract the right people to your business, which comes from conversation. It comes from, again, multiple touch points, right? And video, use video, like put videos in your email. We did a beautiful email sequence for one of my clients recently where we did an email every day. And there was this great video that really talked to that ideal client and had a sprinkling of the practitioner's personality in it. And like the conversion rates are much higher when you can really get in front of them in a fun and engaging way.
Yeah. And that's the integrity piece that we talked about before, is that if you are yourself in front of the camera and it's not contrived and you're not using stock photos that have nothing to do with you and your brand, like you bring the integrity out through that particular platform. I think that's a really great example that you cited. I want to switch gears slightly and like rapid fire. What are your favorite marketing apps that you use, or like apps you use every single day in your business, and how do you use them?
Oh God, you know, I have like 400 apps that I use every day in my business.
We've got a lot of time.
Marketing tech geek. I mean, for myself or for the customers that we work with?
A bit of both, right? Because I mean, you have your own business and so does our audience. And I want to know what some of your favorites are, certainly for yourself right now. And then for people in the health and wellness industry, what are they using and liking?
Yeah. So, I mean, video is key. Video is a key component of every business. I could be doing more video for my own brand. I do quite a bit of it for my clients, which is kind of that always how that happens. So there's a lot of apps that I like that will help you with video. As an example, on Instagram, you can only do a short 15-second Insta story. But if you have a long story that you want to put out there and you don't want to have to stop and re-record and stop and re-record every time, there's an app called Long Story Split. And I use that a lot. I use that for just getting it split into 15-second increments without me having to do anything. So I deposit my minute and 40-second video into there and it just pops out literally like 15-second videos. So I love that. I love also for video using, I'm thinking apps, but I'm also thinking software. So I use something called Wave where we do audio videos. So I think that's a fun app. It is paid. It's not free, but it's worthwhile. It helps to create, you know, different types of engagement. And it's also probably a good tool for people that are afraid of the camera because you can put a picture of yourself up and then literally it just puts your audio on top of it. So it's a video, but it's of your audio. I love that as well. And then again, for videos, we're talking about putting, in Facebook in particular, we need to make sure that there's captions at the bottom of videos. And one of the tools that I like to use if you're a Mac user is called Clips. In Clips, you can actually record the video right there, and it, as you're speaking, will make the captions for you.
Oh, that's cool.
A ninja trick that I'm giving you guys there. And then for social media, it's always about organizing it and planning it. So I have a team that works with me, and my team handles a lot of my social media. But we use one scheduler as an example, because I'm on LinkedIn, I'm on Instagram, I'm on Facebook. We use one scheduler to get all of the content across the different channels. So I think that's another time-saving way. There's ones called like Planoly is a good one, and later.com are good for Instagram only. But then there's ones like Hootsuite where they connect to multiple platforms. I also use Voxer, which isn't just a marketing app, but it's a community app. And I'm so in love with Voxer now because I'm inundated with emails. And I don't necessarily want to give out my cell phone number to whoever I'm communicating with. And Voxer is literally a walkie-talkie app that just like gives me this really loud notification, which I feel like you could probably change, and I just haven't. And it literally lets me know that somebody on my team needs me right now. And I go first to my Voxers before I go to anything else. So I find that's been really increasing productivity for my team. Megan, I could go on for days with apps. And if you saw my phone, I've got like 10 pages of apps on my phone, which is probably more than the general person would ever need.
But you have to try them, right? Like, I feel like that's part of this like early adopter entrepreneurial spirit. You're going to just download a ton of apps. You're going to try them out, and then you're just going to get rid of the ones that don't.
Yeah, that's don't work. Sure. That's for sure what's happening. I mean, I also like Canva, and there's one that I use called Crello. I like both of those for graphic creation. I think those are the non-graphic designer's easiest way to get good looking graphics.
Totally. And those things matter.
Things that matter now are things to capture people's visual attention. So we're talking about video. I often connect with my clients and give them a rundown on, you know, how to have proper lighting and, you know, having a proper microphone, which we talked about earlier, like all the things that you need to have. It's tools that you need, and it's investment in your marketing. And nowadays it has a lot to do with video. I mean, we'll have videographer come out to some of my clients that are really ready to, you know, go next level and record, batch record a bunch of content all at once, because we know that professional videos have a better reach than some of the homegrown stuff. But if you're not even doing homegrown, you're not at the professional level yet. So there's a lot of things that can be done with enhancing. Like I use Filmora a lot, and that's a video editing software. It's not free, but you can add in, you know, little bullet points, and you can make your own videos and then use Filmora, which is very user-friendly. A lot of the video editing softwares are complicated. I have most of them, but Filmora seems to be the easiest one, where you can just literally go on there and add some fun to it, add some music. You can do all kinds of stuff. So that might be a really cool one to check out if you're a do-it-yourselfer that wants to get into getting better at video.
I love it. We're going to have a laundry list of apps available in our show notes. These are great places for people to start. And you just got to play. You've got to try. Some things will work, some things won't. But you won't find that out unless you try. Brandy, what do you want your legacy to be?
Well, you know, Megan, I'm extremely passionate about growing awareness to natural medicine. I think of that every single day when I wake up, and what the greatest impact I can do daily to get there. I want natural medicine to be mainstream. I want people to understand the tools that they need and the knowledge that they need to have to stay out of the conventional system of care, what I call reactive medicine. So for me, the more practitioners I can help deliver knowledge to their communities, the larger the impact can be. That is 100% what I want to be known for.
Our body is a series of interconnected systems. What is happening in one system puts pressure on another. We understand this intuitively. And yet the most powerful medical system in the world, Western medicine, continues to evaluate our health in individualized silos. We have assessments related to cardiovascular health, oncology, respirology, dermatology. We have individual silos of expertise. When we assess the body from a functional perspective in our practice, we want to understand not whether you are necessarily fine in all of these different systems, but whether or not they are functioning in an integrative manner in a way that moves you closer to optimal health. While there are lots of functional tests that we can do to be able to assess that, technology is enabling us to start to look at this thing on the basis of artificial intelligence through the aggregation of data. We do this in our practice using a tool called Living Matrix, and I want to make this assessment available to you. If you go to our new website, anthropologyperformancelabs.com, on the front page, you will see an opportunity for you to opt in into your personalized functional medicine quiz. Completing this questionnaire will take approximately 40 minutes of your time. And when you're finished, we're going to prompt you to have an opportunity to sit down from someone on our medical team to review your individualized results. We are all on big missions. We are all trying to change the world. It's no longer sufficient for our health to simply be fine. For us to achieve what we want to do as badass women with a vision for how we can help the world, we need to move our health to a place of optimal. And I invite all of you the opportunity to see how close to that line you really are. Go to anthropologyperformancelabs.com and do your quiz today. This is a perfect place to transition to the second part of the interview. And I call these our KPIs, or key performance indicators. So just like we have them in business, I believe that we have them with respect to our health and our lifestyle and how we live at the same time. So indulge me. I've got six rapid fire questions for you.
Bring them on.
I'm like, are you ready?
I'm so scared right now.
You should be. There's a lot of math and equations and like on the spot judgment about to happen. Right. Question one, do you have a consistent evening routine? And if so, can you share?
So I have two young children and their evening routine is my evening routine and it changes every single night. So to say from an amazing biohacking health perspective, am I doing all the right things? I'm going to go with a solid no on that because we're in this whole season of busy. However, I do make sure that I turn off my computer hours before I sleep and that when I am on it, I have my blue blocker glasses and I make sure that I'm hydrating enough. I stop eating at 5 and I'm doing this intermittent fasting thing. So that's one of them. And I'm a huge fan of taking a few minutes before I go to bed to just look at what I've done for the day, what I've accomplished, what I might have been able to do better, and how grateful I am for the opportunities that I've had each day. And then just sort of set the stage for the next. Yeah, that's about as good as it gets over here right now.
No, I love it. Yeah, I used to ask about people's morning routine. And then the reality is for like women in business is we're like, oh yeah, I'd love to tell you I have this beautiful morning routine. But it's a gong show when you get kids together and you get it. Like sometimes 1 out of 10, you nail it. So I was like, okay, let's be honest. Like, let's just, how are we doing? How are we doing our evenings? Okay, next question. Fiction or nonfiction? What are you reading right now?
I spend a lot of time reading marketing books and inspirational and biographies. But right now I'm knee deep in parenting life and I am a huge fan of Dr. Shefali and I'm reading, she has her two latest books, The Awakened Family. And the other one is about discipline. I couldn't tell you the name of the topic right now, but it's all about being a more aware parent and what she calls stop the suffering by trying to control your kids. So current status.
Yes, I know nothing about that. What is the one thing you're most consistent with respect to your health?
Most consistent with, I would say I'm a huge Pilates reformer fan. So for the last 2.5 years, almost without fail, I do Pilates twice a week. I drink a ton of water and herbal teas, so I usually feel like I'm patting myself on the back there. And I also make sure that I'm taking my sort of foundational supplements every day and consuming tons of collagen. That's my newest.
Great. What is something totally badass about you that people would not otherwise know?
I would say that being a white girl in a third world Caribbean country with no friends or family, building a chain of video stores and also running massive stage shows where the entire country was invited to the event. That was pretty badass, I'm going to say. Like, I've definitely slowed down on the badassery since then because, you know, kids, Canada, but I would say that's pretty badass.
That is pretty bad. I don't know why you came home, frankly.
Well, they all say that, but, you know, walk a mile in my shoes.
Fair, fair. Yes. What do you do?
I missed witty, humorous, like fun conversations with people that were, you know, I needed to be in a room full of different people.
Yeah, I get that. I totally hear you on that. What do you do for fun or play?
The kids pretty much dictate my life. Just because, and for fun or play with them is we like to go hiking. I have family up north in Collingwood, so we like to go there and just pretend that we're on vacation for the weekend. And I love to laugh. So anybody that I know that makes me laugh, I will invite them over on a very regular basis so they can entertain me. I'm a huge fan of just comedy. My husband, I literally married my husband because he's amazing and he promised to make me laugh every single day.
Oh, that's so cute.
That's what's fun for me, is really getting me out of my RBF. Can we say that on this podcast?
We can.
Get my resting bitch face off and make me get out of myself and start laughing. That's probably the best thing I can do.
It's amazing. And it's kind of the point of all of this, right? Finally, last question for you. Entrepreneurism. Are we born this way or do we learn to become entrepreneurs?
That's a good question. I know for sure the people that are in my space that are serial entrepreneurs will tell you that they came out like that. But then there's this whole adapt and be versatile aspect to life. And when you're given the right tools and the right understanding of how they work, I think that entrepreneurs can be bred around every corner if the desire is great enough to take the risk. So I guess it depends on personality type and how badly you want the end result. So I'm going to go with a little of both.
We'll take a little bit of both. Brandi Kinnear, it has been a pleasure having you on the podcast today. People are going to want to follow up with you and all the cool stuff you're up to. Where can we direct them to learn more?
I am pretty consistent, key term there.
On surprise, Instagram. Surprise.
Instagram is my favorite platform to connect, and I'm at your ideal patients. I also have a lot of cool stuff on my free stuff on my website, youridealpatients.com, including a quiz and some good tools there that people can download. So those are probably the best two places to find me. And I'm always happy to connect. I have multiple channels incoming for communication because I like to be able to connect with people in all the places.
In all the places. And we'll hook people up with all of the places in our show notes. Brandi, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me. It's been so fun.
If you enjoyed our conversation and would like to hear more, head on over to Stitcher or iTunes and subscribe to the Entrepology Podcast. We would also really appreciate a quick review. When people have their health, they can change the world. Let us keep you healthy and you go change the world.